Got a good sized class today. That's good. All right, it means, listen, when there's children, that means there's growth. Amen. God is good. Welcome again to Christ Community Church. We're glad you guys are here. Stephen, turn me up just a hair. Not crazy, actually. I think that's good right there. Okay. Well, glad that you guys are here. Beautiful Sunday morning just to worship God. And I always say, after our worship, I just need a deep breath. You know, I don't know about you guys, but man, I just love Jesus. I love seeing fellowship. I love seeing everybody talking and breaking bread. It's kind of one of the privileges, I think, that we have as just to be able to serve in this capacity at this church. But how many of you guys have watched, maybe you watched a TV show or something where you see that they're about to perform some crazy stunts or crazy things or crazy fails. And they usually will have, there'll be a disclaimer right at the beginning, and it says, please do not try this at home, right? These are trained professionals, or they're not trained professionals. They just happen to get caught on camera, getting hurt really bad. Have you guys watched shows like that? Yeah. What's that? Some of your favorites? Watching people get hurt, right? Some of you guys are on YouTube. Let me watch that again. I'm going to crack up watching people get hurt. But you know, this the title for today's sermon is instead of the opposite, where he says, "Please don't try this at home." Or this is the opposite. The sermon title is, "Please try this at home." Please try this at home. And you're gonna see why. We're gonna be jumping into God's Word. But you know, we just came back from 2 weeks ago. We belong to Aspire. It's the network that we belong to. We're non-denominational. So we don't have a denomination. We're independent. We're an independent church. And so we belong to a network of churches called Aspire. And so we had our annual conference 2 weeks ago. And it really was a blessed time, honestly. You guys, you know, sometimes when you see the church, it's like, do we stand alone? Are we a church? No, we have a lot of people that pray, that pour into us. We have coaches. We have, I have monthly check-in meetings with my mentor coach. We have different people that are coming alongside of us, equipping us, right? Because, listen, God didn't intend for us to do church alone. He didn't intend for you to do life alone. Certainly didn't intend for the pastors to go out to sing alone either, right? We need support. And so, Stephanie, I've been just blessed by the support that we get from the network. And so we went to the conference 2 weeks ago. And the whole conference was about multiplication, and it was about making disciples and doing it in a way that is healthy. Because oftentimes, you know, how many of you have tried a fad diet where you go crazy and you're like, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. And how are you going to do it? I'm just going to have 3 drops of watermelon juice. And I might give myself a cracker. And then you do that. You might do that for a little bit. Anybody tried one of those crazy diets like that? You tried it, right? Maybe not that extreme, but you're like, I'm only going to eat grapefruit, or I'm going to do this. Sound familiar? And then it might work for a little bit, but then what happens? It's not sustainable, right? You go to your friend's house, and they're having the carne asada and tacos, and your friends come over with a big old burrito, and they eat it right in front of you, right? And then before you know it, you fell off the wagon. Sound familiar? Yeah, it's not sustainable. And so one of the things that we were learning about at the conference is that we need to be very intentional to be connected to the Father, right? Through faith in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And that God has equipped us and called all of us into ministry, right? I don't know if you guys know this, but if only one person is doing a lot of the heavy lifting, or a family is doing the heavy lifting in the church, it's going to be very difficult for that church to multiply and grow. Why? Because it's going to be limited by the resources and the time that those people have. And so we're called together as a body to build it up, right? To build up the kingdom and do our part. In fact, that's what today's message is about. And that's why we're encouraging you to please try this at home. Now, some of you guys are wondering why I have this right here. It's going to be, that's for later, okay? It's a little teaser. Don't fall asleep. It's going to be good. Amen? But it's funny. As I was preparing for this message, there was a little funny story about a guy who was a coach for many pastors. And so he wrote, he would get oftentimes a job description for different pastors, right? Pastors that have, you know, if you guys know, some folks have full-time ministry. That's their job. They clock in, clock out. We're a bivocational church, right? So I go to work like you go to work. Amen? Now, we still have a job description, what we're responsible for. But this guy was a coach, and he had he would oftentimes put together job descriptions from all the different pastors that he coached. And so he put one together. And he says, so here's the pastor's job description. And this particular pastor, he called him Pastor Holy Hustler. That was his name, okay? That was his name. He's the Holy Hustler. And why did he call him that? Because he was always spreading God's word, and he was hustling for the Lord. Amen? That sounds good, huh? Now, you guys, immediately when I say hustler, you think all kinds of stuff. You think about street things or whatever. Now, that's a good title to have. Because if you're hustling, like we say, if you're going to gossip, right, let it be about the gospel. Amen? Now, if you're going to be hustling, let it be for the Lord. Amen? All right. So we're here to switch the game up a little bit, because I always said, I say that a lot. I haven't said it in a while. Like, if you must gossip, gossip about the gospel. And if you must hustle, hustle about the Lord. Amen? This will be my new one. I'm going to start saying that one. Not that kind of street stuff that you're talking about, thinking about, okay? So Pastor Holy Hustler, his job description looks something like this. His job was to show up early before everybody got to the church, unlock the doors to the church, make sure that all the chairs were organized, right? If there's any trash, pick it up. If there was any trash cans need to be thrown out, throw away the trash too. Make sure that there was water in the baptism tank. Make sure that there was a Bible in different pews or Bibles in the back. He was also responsible to type, print, and fold the bulletins. He had to preach on Sunday morning and also Sunday night. He taught the Sunday class as well for the adults. On Wednesday, he had Bible study. He attended all church functions. He had to be at every single church committee meeting, right? He had to attend every time of function that was being held by the church. He needed to show up. He needed to also mow the lawn, okay? Just for a little bit, in case this guy's not tired, he also needs to mow the lawn. In addition to that, he always had to open and close the church because only he had the keys, right? So if he wasn't there, there was no meetings. Nothing got done. His job was also to preach, to baptize, to pass out the communion, to visit the sick, to bury the dead, marry the young, and bring in new members, right? He was also responsible to make sure that he was everybody's friend, that he never offended anybody, that he was there at any time a member of the church called, he dropped what he was doing right away. He's responsible to make sure that the needs of the congregation came before even the needs of his family. You guys catching a drift? And you guys are like, where's he going with this? Bear with me, right? He was also in short, right? The pastor was the one that was responsible to take care of all of the ministry activities for the church because he was paid to do it. And the members, their job was to consume the ministry because what? They paid for it, right? Now, this is kind of a little bit of it's an allegory, right? It's fake. I don't know if you guys know that. I'm not talking, you're like, is he talking about us? Is he talking about himself? No, I told you guys, right? We don't get paid here. We do what we do because we love God, amen? But here's the thing, our church is different. It's a bivocational church. And that was application of what you heard and what he was talking about. He was using it as an example of a church that was unhealthy. Have you guys ever seen a church that's unhealthy where one person or a handful of people are just doing everything and the other folks that are showing up to the church are just there to consume, right? Have you ever thrown a party where it seems like you're the one who's doing everything and nobody will get up to help you to do anything? Did that ever happen to you guys? Some of you guys, right? Yeah, I could see it. And then it feels like, man, can somebody like get up and help me? It's like, yeah, I didn't come here just for you to be the servant. You're my guest, yes. But you can help me out a little bit, amen? And so what the coach was talking about here was he was painting a little bit of a funny picture of an unhealthy church because the congregation itself, right, is not described that way. If you look at it in the Bible, it's not talks about one person that is called to do the work. It's not one person that has all the gifts, talents, and abilities, right? In fact, that's not the way it works out. Each one of us, every single person in here has been gifted by God. Has been gifted and been invited to participate, to be in the part of the winning team, right? Now, I know that we just celebrated, you guys saw the Super Bowl like 2 weeks ago? Wasn't it the most boring Super Bowl ever? I mean, it was terrible. Not even the commercials were good, right? And I watched the halftime show, and I'm not going to get political. I speak Spanish. I didn't know what he said either. Some of the people are like, I didn't know what he said. I was like, I don't know either. But We always said, but the beat was good, yeah? Just vibe with it, right? Anyway, where am I going with this? All I'm saying is that, listen, whether you had the winning team or the losing team or whatever it is, right? We're still praying. I know. One day, my brother, Bengals or Bills, I don't know. Or Jesus is going to take us home, I don't know. But it's okay, we're on Team Jesus, amen? All we're saying is that God is inviting every single one of us to be a part of building His kingdom. Each one of us in here is gifted and talented by the Holy Spirit, and you're invited to participate. Isn't that awesome? It's not like when you were a kid. Like, I don't know about you. I told you guys this before. I was not, like, very tall. I was kind of skinny. Right now, I'm kind of round. But I was kind of skinny once upon a time in my life. I was fast, though. But, man, when I would get for dodgeball or for, like, kickball, I was always, like, the second to the last guy. Right? Honestly, that's just me. All of you guys are like the first round draft picks. You guys are amazing. I get it. But listen, what we're going to learn about here is that in a healthy church, the congregation gets involved. In a healthy church, everybody is part of the body and has responsibility to it. And so we're going to spend some time here in Ephesians chapter 4, learning more about what Paul describes for us and what it means for us to be a part of the body. Okay, so let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I don't know if you guys are there. Say amen. Amen. Excellent. You guys are a little sleepy. I think the soup was too good. Sister, we're going to have to put more chile in it next time. Keep them awake. Amen. All right. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. But this is what it says. When he ascended on high, he took many captives, and he gave the gifts to his people. And what does ascend mean? Except that he descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelism, the pastors, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to the people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Amen? Stop there. So the first point from today's sermon is that God calls us, right? The call to serve starts with understanding the unity of the body and submission to God. So that's the first fill in the blank. The call to serve starts with understanding the unity of the body and submission to God. And what you're going to notice then, and actually it's right in verse 1. And it says, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received." Now, I don't know about you, but do any of you think that you're exempt from that Bible verse? Do you think that verse, when you read it, it doesn't apply to you? Anybody think that it doesn't apply to you? Good, right? Because it does apply to you. It says that you're encouraged to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. And it doesn't then go on and talk about your gifts, talents, and abilities. What did he say in verse 2 immediately? It says, being what? Being completely humble, right? Everybody say that again. Being completely humble. Turn to your neighbor right now. Being completely humble. Oh, man. Oh, man. Now, right, as soon as you look somebody in their eyes, you're like, what? Right? And just say like the voice of the Lord, being completely humble. And so later on when that person is acting a fool a little bit, you got to tell them, remember? Be completely humble. No, I'm kidding. See, we're called first to humility. Before we're called to serve, before we're called with the gifts and talents and ability, we're called to humility. Amen? Because God knew that, listen, I don't know about you, but you know people that are talented and they're gifted. And a lot of times that can get to their, you got a big head, huh? They're like, oh my gosh, look at what I can do. I'm so awesome. You guys know people like that? Yeah, they're not in this church though. They might go to other churches. They probably don't even go to church. Amen? You know people like that. I know people like that. But listen, God is calling us first to humility. Be completely humble. And then the second thing it says, being what? Does it say be like harsh? Be mean? No, it says what? Be gentle. Right? Oh, man. I'm speaking to somebody today. Right? We need to be humble and gentle. And then it says patient. How many of you guys, when things don't go your way, you lose your patience right away? Right? Oh, one person is honest. Praise God. Three, yes. Right? That's all of us. Right? We're in the flesh. Sometimes we get impatient. I don't know about you guys, but man, my faith is tested every morning when I'm dropping off the kids at school. I don't know what genius decided to cut off the half of the streets over in Reedley too. Oh my gosh. It's like road rage in the morning, right? And then people don't know how to drive. It tests your patience, right? But God is saying, no, listen, be gentle and patient, bearing with one another in what? In love. Love. Oh. I know we have the heart right here, but it's a different kind of love that we're talking about today, amen? A love that is long-suffering, that is kind. What's going on over there, guys? Somebody paging you guys? Jesus is calling you. You better pick up the phone. I don't know what that noise is. All right. So the thing that we're talking about here is that, listen, Paul is encouraging us to be humble, to be kind, to be patient in our calling. He hasn't even talked about what you're called to do. He's talking about first, you have to what? Be humble. He's talking about changing yourself before you even get ready. A lot of times people will come forward and say, I can do this, this, and this, and this. And it's like, wait, slow your roll. Like, yeah, maybe you can. But God is oftentimes putting you in a position of waiting. Have you ever had that ever happened to you? Where God has put you in a position of waiting because, listen, yeah, you might not be ready for it. Because if you are put into a position that is, you're not ready for it, you don't have the maturity for it, when is it happening? Have you ever been around somebody that's been moved into a position that it was too soon, too fast? And before you know it, it's like, man, what is going on? When that person is leading purely from the position or the title and lording it over you, right? Like Lord business. I'm the boss. You do what I say because I'm the boss, and that's how it is. Is that self-familiar at all to anybody? And so that's not the way that God works. I'll be quite honest with you. God is in the business of using and equipping and promoting people that have the right heart. See, God is in the business of what? Man, he's in the heart business, amen? He's in the soul business. And as if you're not in a position and you haven't put yourself in that position of humility, where God is on the throne at all times, then you're going to be waiting for a long time. Amen? And so that's what it's talking about first. We have to do the work. We have to do the work inside first, because God is calling us to maturity and submission first. Now, how does that happen? With time. With experience, into maturity with him and a walk with him. He's not calling you, listen to me, he's not calling you to perform. He's not calling you into you're going to be this actor or this actress and you're going to win a Golden Globe or an Oscar. Look how talented you are. That's in the movies, right? God is calling us what? Into intimacy with him. We're not called to put on a performance. Because guess what happens when people start performing and God doesn't have them, all of them? You know what starts to happen? People start to have moral failings. So God needs to have all of us first. Because here's the other thing too. You can, I don't want to down other churches or whatever, but listen, we know people who are really very holy on the exterior, but when you see them in private, it's a different thing. Never happened? Turn on the news. I say turn on the news and you'll see mega pastors from big churches that are leading congregations that are maybe 1,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000 that they fail. Why? because they start performing from the pulpit. And they forgot their first love, which is Jesus Christ. So God is not calling you to perform. He's calling you to intimacy first. He's calling you to maturity. The other thing that we notice here, right, and you guys noticed that, is that God is not calling for a church body to be a one-man band. In fact, you said it. He says that what all of us form what? One body of Christ, and that we're all equipped to do the work together for Him. So a healthy congregation is obviously a place, right, where everybody gets involved. But first, we have to submit and obey to Him. That's kind of like, can I just serve? Can I just do this thing? God is calling me to that. Yeah, you can. But you're going to get it. You're going to put it upside down. Here's the reality of it too, is that if you start performing, you start getting involved and do all these things, you're going to fizzle out. Why? Because you're doing it usually, I'll be quite honest with you, to fulfill your own need. Yes or no? When you're doing it to fulfill your own, like, this is, I'm good at this, please, you know, and then when something happens, oftentimes what you'll see is that person will fizzle out. But when you are submitted to God and when you're in love with God and it's a relationship with Him, then guess what? Through the thick and thin, through the storms, rain or shine, whatever happens, right? When you hold that meeting and only one brother shows up, one sister shows up, whatever happens, you're not even doing it for anybody. You're doing it for Jesus. Does that make sense? And so that's why God is calling us first into maturity before we can actually start to even get plugged in and serve. Now, some of you guys might be asking, like, okay, man, I didn't come to hear this message, but listen, God is calling you to be a part of the team. Now, some of you guys in here, I'll be honest with you, you guys are very talented. Yes? There's some quarterbacks in this room. You guys like, what's your analogy? You guys like baseball, basketball, whatever it is? There's some starting pitchers in here. There's some quarterbacks in here. There's some running backs. That make sense? But you know what? I don't know if you guys saw the Super Bowl. Something happened that was unique for the Patriots. What happened to the quarterback? He got sacked how many times? About 10 times. Honestly, I was like, poor kid. He was running for his life the whole time. He was afraid. He was praying to Jesus. This is like 300 gallons. But listen, what he needed was for somebody to defend, somebody to block. The people that are invisible, that sometimes you can't see them. You know what we need? Every church needs what? What'd you say, sister? Oh, I caught you gossiping about the gospel. Amen. But every church, they need people to pray. Yes. Listen, you might not be called to have, you might not have the best voice, but man, God has given you the gift of intercession. Man, that is right on, sister. You don't necessarily even need, listen, there's a story, I don't know if you guys know who Charles Spurgeon is? He was responsible for one of the greatest revivals in England. You guys know that. And I don't want to get too deep into it. But every time that he would take the pulpit, there was a team of women that would go down to the basement and they would pray for him while he was preaching the gospel. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? They weren't up there articulating the word, but they were up there praying for him, interceding on his behalf that there would be power, that God would use him in an amazing way. Isn't that a beautiful gift to have? So maybe God's not calling you to the worship team or to the media team, but maybe God is calling you to pray deeply for this church. Pray for its leaders. Pray for the families. Amen? And I'll tell you, if that's where we, even if that was, that would be enough. But God has also gifted other people in this church, right, with the gifts of helps, the gifts of hospitality, the gifts to sing, the gifts to teach, right? And so God is doing an amazing thing. Listen, we're a small church, but I'm excited for what God is going to do. And I see it already. So is it your job? You know, God didn't give you all the gifts, but He gave you a gift or a talent and ability to use for His kingdom. And the church is the place where we create the platform to equip you and send you off to do what God has called you to do. Amen? In fact, one of the things that we met afterwards last Sunday to kind of deep huddle and take notes about what we learned. And one of the things that I got called out on is like, you're doing too much. That was my brother. Like, man, you're over there. He's like, you're taking the trailer. You're singing. You're playing the guitar. You don't even have a guitar. You're doing too much. Amen? And so guess what, right? This, when I was putting this message together, I was like, I'm a little bit like the one-man band. I get it. You guys need to know, though, I love Jesus, okay? And I love serving you guys. And this is part of my, you know, my life verse is Isaiah 6:8. God has called me to this. And when I work for the kingdom, and I feel his glory, okay? So I might still be working somewhere on the side, but here's the other thing. I want to invite you guys to this, amen? And that's what we're here to do together. So yes, my brother's like, you're doing too much. I said, maybe. I still love Jesus. You might have to sit me down. It's okay. I'm not going to stop serving. You know what I mean? But there's room at the table, right? For all of you to serve the kingdom. And it's all of our job to do to build up the kingdom. Now you might be asking yourself, well, am I really being called to ministry? Why should I do ministry? Isn't it that we have like people that we can volunteer, or isn't that God is calling somebody else? God will say yes. You know, it's kind of like the there's a little illustration here, right? There's a little girl that was in Sunday school. Her name was Missy. And long story short, have you ever guys been around like a 5-year-old when it's not natural for kids to share? You know what I'm talking about? It's not. That's how you know that there's original sin. Like they might be even like 2 years old, and the first word that they almost say is, they say, it's mine, right? It's mine. No, it's mine. So what was happening in the classroom is a little girl, her name was Missy. She had a strong attitude, and she was having a hard time, right, sharing some of the toys. In fact, they had a little ark, actually, and she wouldn't share with any of the kids. But the teacher said, you know what, this is a great lesson. I'm going to talk about sharing, the love of God, the golden rule, right, do unto others as you want other people to do unto you. And so she got the little girl, and she sat her down, and she said, you know, hey, you need to share, because little Johnny, look at, he's sad. He's crying. She said, so what? She didn't say that. He's a crybaby. No, she didn't say that. But what she decided to say is, she says, Missy, the reason that God made you is so that you can help other people and share. She's trying to speak life to her. And then Missy looked at the boy and she says, well, then why did he make Johnny? Right? If that's my job, right? See what I'm saying is that she was trying to be selfish. Just like the same thing. You might be asking yourself, man, is God really calling me right now? And what are the other people here to do? I'm going to tell you this right now. The calling that God has on your life is for you, right? You're called to it to edify the body and the kingdom. Let me tell you why. Because we in the church especially will make it a habit of doing this. You're called to do it, but you start doing this. Huh. Stephen was 20 minutes late today. I'm going to report it to Jesus. Right? Oh, Sister Irene, she was talking during the service. I'm going to rat her out to Jesus when I pray. Right? You guys see that? People start to get very what? Religious. They start looking around. Oh, I was doing this and that person. That makes sense? We have a motto here to avoid all that drama. We say, listen, if we're working, please, everybody put... many hands make the work what? Light. And that's just one thing that we believe in, because it's like, hey, we're doing this together, right? We don't want to create any foothold for the enemy. We say that at our meetings too. It's like, hey, if we're working, everybody's working, and then we can all fellowship together, because the enemy is a liar and he's effective. Amen? And so we want to be busy just what? Let's do this, do that. Everybody's all hands on deck serving Jesus. Amen? But your human nature is human nature. And you're going to be looking around. You're like, huh, Stephen was 10 minutes late today. I'm going to report him to my supervisor, Jesus. Jesus already knows, okay? Amen? So listen, your call is your call for the kingdom. You serve out of an overflow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? Don't do it for me. You're going to be dissatisfied. Answer the call because God has called you. Amen? Answer the call because you get to serve God. Amen? Listen, isn't it awesome? Like, isn't it good when somebody that you love, when you see their phone number show up, you're like, oh man, let me take this call. Opposite when like the spam or the bill collector calls, you're like, decline. Doesn't it feel good to have that relationship with directly with that person? It does, right? You even like to do things. You like to spend time with them. You like to do little kind of things, whatever it is that that person enjoys. Yes or no? Yeah. And God is calling you into intimacy and relationship for service with Him. It's for you. Make sense? God is calling you. Now, sometimes in the church, what happens is like, people think that it's like, oh, God is calling me. And then it's my job to tell you about it. To give you a message from God. Does that make sense? Yes, the word. But God wants to tell you Himself. That God wants to walk with you Himself in service. Does that make sense? And then you have that one-on-one, you know, it's not a phone tag. Yes, I am receiving. But you have access to the living Father through the Holy Spirit, through faith in Jesus Christ. So listen, I'm never going to be up here and try to guilt trip you or put pressure on you. Like, listen, the Holy Spirit is already going ahead. The question that you have to answer is, are you going to obey? You don't have to give an account to me, but you will have to give it to the one, the author and the creator of life. Does that make sense? And it's for your benefit, for His glory. Does that make sense? And God is good. And what we also see in Ephesians chapter 4, and we see that, is that you've been gifted for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up. You've been, number two on your handout, you have been gifted for works of service so the body of Christ can be built up. In fact, we see that in Ephesians 4:11-12. It says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people for works of service. Again, so the body may be built up. The rest of us, listen, the church is a place where you're called to be equipped and to be sent out. We can't be at all places at all times, right? In fact, God is positioning you strategically around friends and family who might not know the gospel outside of you sharing it with them. That makes sense? And so God is inviting you to be a part of His kingdom and just to be faithful and obedient to it. You can try this at home. This is not just reserved for the professionals. Listen to me and listen to me well, right? God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, right? We're not called, like, I'll just be honest, we're called to obedience. We're not called to be the most articulate. We're not called to be the person that, yes, we should memorize scripture. But we are called just to be obedient. And sometimes we look in the mirror and says, man, there's nothing awesome about me. Listen, there isn't anything awesome about me. There's awesome about the Holy Spirit that resides inside of me and inside of you. Does that make sense? And all we just have to say is yes to Jesus. And we have to get outside of our own insecurities. And that part is hard. Because listen, it doesn't feel good when you're going out trying to do God's work and it feels like nobody's paying attention, nobody's watching, right? It feels like you're not being effective. God is calling you not to the outcome. He's calling you to obedience. That's where it's at. So how do we train up people for ministry, right? Well, first, we point the direction. At the church, we have a mission. We have a vision. We set the stage. We invite, right? There's men's group. There's women's group. We create the platform and the stage for you to do what God has called you to do. Not just for us. It's for you. This is your church. Does that make sense? But you have to take ownership of it. Right? You have to take ownership. How many of you guys, when you go to a hotel room or you go out of town somewhere, you get a room and you're just a little bit more casual than you are when you're at home. Yeah, that fell down. Somebody else will clean it. No? Yes or no? My brother? Yeah, well. He's one honest person right here, right? Stephanie knows this. Whenever we stay at a place, I try to leave it the way I found it. I will pick up every single thing. I even fold the, it sounds bad. I fold the towels. I'm just my own thing. I don't just like, gas. And we have some family members that are that way. You walk in, it's like, what happened here? Pizza boxes and food and trash and everything. I was like, you've only been here for 24 hours. Totally trashed this hotel. Make sense? See, the point I'm trying to make is that this is not a hotel room. This is your church family. You belong here. You have to take ownership of it. Does that make sense? You can't just rent your time here. If you want to get the most out of what God has for you, you have to invest and commit into it. See, where God shows up the most is, man, when you are fully committed. Why? You think that he was lukewarm when he went to the cross? Man, that's full commitment. And so God is inviting you to serve, but it says, like, get on your cross. It might be doing the little things that you don't enjoy doing. Get on the cross. I don't enjoy taking out the trash. My wife doesn't enjoy picking up all my socks. It's a true story. She's going to say amen real loud right now. That's true. I am my father's son. That's, and then growing up as a kid, my dad would leave his socks everywhere. I'm sorry, babe. I'm joining the, my brother's looking up. He knows it, right? She doesn't enjoy it, but because we belong to the family, we do it anyway, right? And so listen, God is calling you right now. And he's like, hey, I want you to be a part of this team. I need you to commit to this thing, though. This is not a hotel room. This is a family, guys. It's going to mean that you roll up your sleeves and you think, do things that you don't really want to do sometimes. But it's not for us. It's for the kingdom. Right? See, what people want to see is people want to see this gospel lived out. People just don't want to be preached to. People just don't want to hear, like, you don't want to see me preaching and then going, see me out of, coming out of, like, some a place over there by the airport. You guys know where that is? I drive by it. I've never been inside. But you guys know what I'm talking about. You don't want to see, you know what people don't want to see? People don't want to see hypocrites. People want to see the gospel lived out. People want to see the body of Christ, that you belong, and that I'm a belonger there, that God gives me talents and abilities, and that when I show up, people are actually happy to see me. That makes sense? But that means that you have to commit. You have to commit to it. And it doesn't mean just doing the things that make you feel good. Now listen, when you're in your calling, what God has called you to do, man, nothing is better. Because you're doing it for the honor and the glory of the King. So God is inviting you to that. Right? He's not just inviting you to put on a performance. He's inviting you to be a part of his kingdom and train up in ministry. And man, what would be better? I'll be quite honest with you. All right, listen. Let me give you guys a secret. Every one of us in here, I know this is going to be sound kind of dark. We're all going to die. I don't know. Unless Jesus shows up today, man, let him come right now. Amen? Amen. Right? Let him come right now. But if not, we're all going to have our appointment before the Lord. And we have to, what did you do with my son, right? Did you believe? What did you do with the gifts and talents and abilities that I gave you? Did you build the kingdom? You guys know the parable of the talents, right? You guys know that one? Were you the servant that multiplied the talents that God has given you? You put them to work, or were you going to be like the one that buried them? And that was not good for him. But listen, here's the other thing. And I say this in earnest, right? Heaven is real and hell is real. And we have to give an account, right? There's people that we love, people that we know, that aren't living for Jesus right now. They're living for the world. They're believing the lies of the enemy. And they have a hardened heart towards God. And God is inviting you to be the person that introduces them to the Savior. Does that make sense? You're not accountable to their response. You're accountable to the introduction. Right? And wouldn't it be amazing for somebody to say, man, I was far away from God, and you're dead 100 years from now, and you encounter that person. Wouldn't it be amazing to say, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for introducing me to the one who changed my life. That's what God is doing. When you don't always see what God is doing in the little things. It might just be hosting. It might just be going out to pray for somebody. It might be just the invitation. You don't know what God is doing. He knows what he's doing. He's calling you to obey. Amen. And so we don't do this because it makes us feel good, you know. We do it because we love Jesus. Amen? Rain or shine, hauling the trailer, whatever. People say, don't you get tired of hauling the trailer? Do you know that my Lord and Savior went to the cross for me? I'll pull that trailer all day and night. Amen? Yeah. Don't you get tired of putting up these things right here? And is the Holy of Holies back there? Right? Is the Ark of the Covenant behind the black curtain? Do we get tired of putting them? Jesus went to the cross for us. Amen? We'll do this till we die. Right? God is good. All the time. Right? Because here's the thing. Our main focus, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. It says, our first priority as a church has to be what? It must be to do what Jesus asked us to do. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey some things? No, everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Isn't that awesome? Man, surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. That's our number one focus and priority. You know, it's a little while ago now, that they interviewed the president of the Episcopalian Church, was on the cover of a magazine. It was a big deal back in the day. I don't usually like to talk bad, but some denominations have lost their way a little bit, right? What Timothy was writing about is people that want to have itchy ears and different things about inclusivity and all that kind of stuff. Some churches have lost their way. They were interviewing her, and they said, what is the greatest need? What's the most important thing the church needs to do right now? And the bishop said, we need to feed the hungry. We need to take care of the poor. We need to have programs to get people back into church. And those are all good things, but it's not the most important thing. People can have a full stomach. People can be educated. People can have a lot of different programs, and they can still go to hell without Jesus Christ. Make sense? The greatest need for the church is to introduce people to share the gospel that changes lives and changes their eternity. Does that make sense? And so that was the whole focus, that a lot of the things that they were talking about is all programs, missions, and do this and start hospitals. Those are great things, but they have to be undergirded by the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. And we have to be okay, because I'll be quite honest with you. Listen, the gospel is offensive to the world. You don't believe me? Tell people that you go to church. Tell people that you're Christian. You can be any other thing, just don't be a Christian. You'll be accepted anywhere else. I have friends that, it's like, what do you believe in? I'm Jesus Christ. Oh, you guys are, you're terrible, you're bigots, you hate everybody. I said, that's not my Lord and Savior. You don't know, you're not talking about my God. You're talking about some other God that you think you know about. Now, they can, in the same conversation, they can say, my friend will say, oh, I'm a Muslim or I'm a Buddhist. Oh, that's so awesome. You're so spiritual. They even do that. You're so spiritual. Oh, right? What? I would say, it's like, do you guys see the blatant hypocrisy in this conversation right now? That I can, you, everything is fine. But if I talk about the exclusive way to God being Jesus Christ, oh, no way. Makes sense? Listen, the gospel is offensive to the world. It was offensive back then. It's offensive now. But Jesus tells you, he's like, listen, if they deny you, they're not denying you. They're denying me. Just be obedient to it. Once upon a time, I was that person. And somebody was praying. Somebody was inviting. And man, thank God that God was patient with a knucklehead like me. Amen. Now, you have some knuckleheads at home. God is patient. Keep praying. Keep inviting. Don't stop trying. Right? God is good. He is good. So our first priority as a church needs to be exactly what Jesus says. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. This is Jesus speaking. And that surely Jesus will be with us to the very end of the age. Because yes, We do need programs. We need ministries. We need prison ministries. We need homeless ministries. We need ministries for young people. We need all kinds of different ministries. But people can still go to hell with a full stomach. People can be healthy physically, but be spiritually dead. And so we have to make sure that we're doing that. We're doing the work that God has called us to build up his body. And so for us, yes, we've got to be grounded in the doctrine, right? Grounded in the gospel, what he's doing. But here's the third point. And this is where you should be encouraged, right? Listen, not only from Matthew 28, 19 to 20, that God is with you right to the very end of the age. All authority is given unto us as well as a body. But he's saying, number three, he's actively seeking to empower us through his grace. To empower us through his grace. Amen. Man, I don't know about you guys. I used to play a lot of video games when I was a kid. Not anymore. I got married and I had kids. That was the end of my gaming days. It was also the end of my golfing days. Amen, right? Anybody got time for that? It's true. You listening, brother? Oh, Adriana's not here. Yeah, you make a note. She's going to listen to the playback. But listen, Jesus is actively speaking to empower us through his grace. Where I was going with that is, wasn't it cool when you had the cheat codes on the video games? Max power, max lives, right? This is what Jesus invited you to say. Listen, I want to power you up. On your own, you can do nothing. But when you're connected to Jesus Christ, what you have? Power. Not your own power, it's the Holy Spirit, amen? Don't get all puffed up. Look how strong I am. Look how talented I am. Look how handsome I am. Well, my wife could say that. But it's all about Jesus Christ, amen? That there's power in the name of Jesus. We sing the songs all the time. But yet, when we go out into the world, sometimes we feel like we don't have it. Make sense? It's like that picture that you ever seen where the little kitty is looking at and then he sees a lion and he's a kitty. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah says he's for you and he will be that. But when you look in the mirror, you see the little kitty. I can't do nothing. Meow. Right? And Jesus is saying, I'm the lion of the tribe of Judah. Roar, right? You can do all things through Christ. I will strengthen you. Yeah? You look in the mirror and you don't see the lion. You're like, meow. I can't do nothing. Meow. Listen, God is inviting you, right? He's saying, listen, not in your own strength, in the strength that God gives you to empower you to do the work. Amen? Ephesians 4, 7 says, what? But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says he ascended on high. And then he says he took many captive and gave gifts to his people. Jesus has assigned you, right? He's given you, he's appropriated your gifts through his grace. You don't deserve it. It's not for you. Look at you, so awesome. You know, it's not like Tiffany when she was born. She's like, I hope that I have a beautiful voice. No, she had no plan in that, right? That's all God, amen? Yeah. You don't have any say in how you look and this and that. God has given you the gifts, talents, and abilities, yes? His own grace. Paul says, as I become a servant of this gospel by the gift grace has given me through the working of his power, right? That's what he's saying, Ephesians 3, 7. He said that in the previous chapter. But Paul is telling us something more, right? He tells us this. Where's my Ephesians 3, 20 people? That's right. He says, because now he's inviting you, right? This is Jesus. He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. He can do more than you can think about, more than you can imagine, not in your own power, in his power that's working in you. Make sense? This is where, again, it's like, man, Jesus is so awesome. He meets us at all of our needs. Yes, we are insecure, but God is not. He is sovereign. He is powerful. Amen. He says, don't go in your own strength. Of course you're going to fail in your own strength. Go in my strength. Right? Serve in my strength. Be connected to me. You know, when Jesus did his first miracle, he made water out of what? I'm sorry, backwards. Wine out of... See, I was not the dyslexia, you know. He turned the wine from water, yeah? Yeah, you guys saw that. And then he turned... He met a Pharisee of the highest Pharisee of highest order, and he turned that person who was Saul into Paul, right? And I love that in Acts. I love where he says, man, I've chosen him because he must suffer greatly for the gospel. And I'm like, man, you're kind of a narcissist. Now, what is that? When people who love punishment? I'd love to see that, right? I'm running out of time. My wife's saying, you're talking too much. Oh. Oh. You are so handsome. God has blessed me with yes. That's really what it says. He answered my prayer. Yes. The day I met you. I know. I can't help myself. Okay. He had Saul, and then he had Paul. Yes. He took some ordinary, unschooled, untrained fishermen, and he made them fishers of men, right? You see how God is in the business of using the ordinary and turning it into the extraordinary. And that's what he wants to do with each one of us. Amen? But he had to start with something, and then he did something awesome with it, yeah? Those people have to say yes. We all have to say yes to Jesus. Amen? And so here's the other thing. You might be here and you're like, man, you don't know me. Yeah, I don't. Jesus knows you. The Holy Spirit knows you. He knows your past. He knows your hurts. He knows your pains. And you might be asking yourself, man, can God use a broken person like me? Can God use a vessel that's been broken and messed up like these? The answer is yes, 100% yes. Every single person in the gospel, if you read the gospels, talks about some very flawed people that just said yes to God. The very flawed people. He's looking for people that are obedient. He turns sinners into saints. Amen? And so it's Jesus' power. Jesus that empowers us for ministry. And he gives us the Holy Spirit, right, to empower us. Number four, effective service and ministry doesn't come from your abilities or strength. It comes from God. Effective service and ministry doesn't come from your abilities or strength. It comes from God. I'm going to close with this point. Verse 4:16 says, "From Him." Right? Say that with me. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. You see that. Can you put 4:16 up? That second word there, it doesn't say your name. It doesn't say Stephen. It doesn't say Michael. It doesn't say Stephanie. It doesn't say Diane. It says from Him, from Jesus Christ, and from God. He's the one that calls us and equips us to build up and do our part. And so we need to be connected to Him. Because without Him, there's no power. Right? We're running on empty. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'll close with this last illustration. Do you guys know how power is made, by any chance? Like electricity? Solar and wind, yeah. But the majority of the power that's generated here in the United States is actually generated from coal. I don't know if you guys know that, still. And there's a little map. I know I'm such a nerd, but I love... This part, my gift is, if you guys know this, is teaching. Once upon a time, I wanted to be a teacher. And then God says, you'll teach, but somewhere else, right? Praise God, right? So here's the thing. You grind up the coal, crush it, pulverize it, you put it under heat, and it starts to combust. And there's a water cooling tank right here. And guess what happens when you put heat and water together? Something happens. It's called steam. Yeah, amen. And so what happens is it moves into this chamber as the steam comes along. There are turbines, and turbines spin. And what happens when you connect something that's spinning, a turbine? These things spin about 3,600 revolutions per minute into a generator, right? Guess what happens? You connect the transformer, and it creates electricity. Isn't that awesome? I know, some of you guys are not excited about this. I used to love, like, Bill Nye, the science guy. That was my jam. I loved that. Yeah? How it's made, you know? So, yes, that's how it is. You know what you don't see on this thing right here? What don't you see? A battery, right? The power has to be generated, and you have to be connected to it. Now, in your walk with Jesus Christ, you can say, man, Jesus, store up all the power and everything. You will have no power if you're not connected to Jesus Christ. You are going to run out. It's like your phone, right? Your phone is great, but when it's dying, you're like, oh, my battery, 1%. Where can I go? You do have a battery. Yeah, anybody? Yeah, you were like that. But listen, apart from Jesus Christ, you can't do anything. This is a cross, right? I know. You need to be connected to the cross, right? This one looks like me. Okay, a little, I'm the bigger plug. Okay? But you guys all need to be connected to the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's no power outside of Jesus Christ. There's no power without the Holy Spirit. Turn to the next slide. And here's where you get your power, right? Plug into the true power source. You got to be in your word. You got to be praying. You got to be interceding. How do you get instruction if you're not talking to the Creator? Right? You got to be connected. Your strength comes from God at the end of the day. And I know I said I was going to close already, but I'm going to close again. I have a lighter. I'm like a person who, you know what I'm looking for right now? A lighter. I'm like a real soap smoker right now. It's right here. Okay. You guys know what this is right here? What is it? It's a candle, huh? When the Bills play, I turn it on. No. Some of you guys, I need the Niner candle in the back. We need like 3 Niner candles, okay? But listen, there was a young man that he came to the Lord, and he's like, man, he goes, I came to the Lord, and shortly after, the pastor came to talk to him, and he says, so what are you doing? Are you getting plugged in? Like, where are you serving? Where is God leading you? And he said, you know, I'm still learning right now. I'm still learning. The pastor took out a candle and a fire, and he says, listen, this is you. You had no life. You were dead, right? And then the love of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, right, on fire, has done something to you. He's brought you from dead to life, right? So by the power of God, he says, you have life. Now, what he asked him, and he says, listen, what happens when you turn the candle on? What's happening to the candle? You expect it to do something. What do you expect it to do? You expect it to give light. Now, do you think that you have to wait? Is it optional that maybe when the candle's only going to give light when it's halfway, when it's learned a lot, when it's gone through all the classes, when it's read the Bible in a year, it's finished the Bible recap, then I could do something for the Lord? That's not what God is saying. In fact, your greatest time of impact is just to say, yes, Jesus, wherever you call me, you set me on fire, I'm going to be the light. You know what Matthew 5:16 says? He says what? Therefore, right, let what man see your good deeds, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. See, a lot of us here, we are aflame. Jesus has called us and we're on fire, but he says, but I'm not ready to shine on anybody yet. That makes sense? When God is saying, man, I've already given you life. I've given you the Holy Spirit. You are born again. Here's the response. You are born again and called with Jesus Christ. You don't have a choice but to give light. That makes sense? Not for your own glorification, but for what? That they may see the good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Right? This is you. So you have. What are you doing? Are we doing what we saw in that verse? We're putting a, don't let nobody see my light. People might see me. I don't want to be that weird guy. I'm going to catch on fire right now. Pastor had a good bird, his whole panza. giving that sermon illustration. You guys will never forget it. Remember that time that pastor burned his whole stomach? Don't hide it. Some of you guys are walking around at work saying, I hope nobody knows that I'm a Christian. Oh, there's somebody that needs me to pray. I better not. I might get in trouble. That makes sense? It is getting hot. Let your light so shine that they may see your good deeds. Glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. You don't have a choice, brothers and sisters, but to glorify God. You have to serve Him. That makes sense? He's inviting you to that. Amen? All right. Today's communion. I know I went over a little bit. I'm sorry. But our sister brought soup. Still some soup. If you're hungry, while we break bread, you can break some soup. I'm kidding. Listen, we're going to talk about, we celebrate communion here once a month. We remember what God has done. It's one of the two ordinances that Jesus gave. Before he left, he says, listen, do this in remembrance of me. Number one, baptize. Number two, right? Well, baptize, that's the instruction he gave. But he also told us to celebrate communion. The breaking of bread and the drinking of the wine. As a remembrance, right, of what God has done. I always give you guys a real quick recap of what did God do for the Israelites, take him out of bondage and slavery. They had to sacrifice a perfect lamb, spotless, perfect. And they had to put the blood on door frames. So remember that? So when the angel would come by, as it was taking the firstborn of every family and the firstborn of all of the cattle and the firstborn of everything in Egypt, that it would pass over. That's what we celebrate, communion. That God's judgment has passed over because of what Jesus has done on the cross. That Jesus loves you enough that he sent, right? He allowed himself to go on the cross. But that God the Father loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross, right? For the forgiveness of our sins. And that's the Passover portion that we celebrate as well, okay? And that's actually what was happening in the upper room. As Jesus was preparing that on Thursday, before Good Friday. You guys remember that? This is what we celebrate. We celebrate His goodness. We celebrate His love. We celebrate the invitation that He has for us, part of His kingdom. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world, right? That whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. And that's what we're going to celebrate today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for just your word, Lord God. Thank you for allowing us, Lord God, inviting us to be a part of your kingdom. Not for us, Lord God, for your glory. You've equipped every person here, Lord, with gifts, talents, and abilities to serve you, Lord, to build up your kingdom, to share the good news of who you are. And it might be the gift of prayer, it might be the gift of hospitality or helps, craftsmanship, Lord God. You're calling and you equip this body, Lord, to serve you faithfully. Not to serve us, but to serve you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, you're calling us to do your work, Lord God, that people will see your deeds and you will be glorified in heaven, Lord God. So just thank you again. But Father God, right now, before we get into our time of communion, Lord, I want us to spend some time in reflection. We need to repent. Lord, you have gifted us so much, and sometimes we are afraid. We have anxiety. We don't feel worthy. And we are more than enough, Lord God, in you. We're more than conquerors in you, Lord Jesus. And Lord God, if we've been disobedient, forgive us, Lord God. Lord, if we have been holding on to a personal hurt or pain, maybe another church, something that happened, Lord God, it was a person. It wasn't you. Calling us, Lord God, into this relationship. You're calling us into service, Lord God. You're calling us to a full life, Lord. We have to commit to you. We have to be connected to you at all times. Apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord God. So, Father God, this morning, I'm praying, Lord God, for all of us. Lord, forgive us for our sins, the sins that we commit. Forgive us for our hardened heart. Forgive us for our pride. Forgive us for our disobedience, Lord God. And also the things that you've called us, and we have maybe pretended like we don't hear. We act like we're crazy instead of just being obedient to you. So, Lord God, just right now, work in our hearts, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord. And help us to come back to the table. You invite us, Lord God, into a right relationship. And so, communion is for believers. You have to first say yes to Jesus. If you want to recommit your life to Jesus Christ, or if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, very simple. Jesus is waiting with open arms, but you have to invite him in. If the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart this morning, just invite him in. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are who you say that you are the Son of God, that you came and you became God and man, and you lived a blameless life, and you gave your life on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Help me to live for you from this day forward. That's it. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, equip me, guide me through the power of your word and this church body to do the work that you called me to do. If you prayed that today for the first time, let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to come alongside you. We want to give you some resources. And if you just recommitted today, that's the same thing too. God is calling you into intimacy and relationship with him, with the Father, by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So thank you again for this morning and for this time, Lord God. And as I continue to pray, I'm just going to read the scriptures, because we don't want to just, the word tells us very clear. 1 Corinthians 11:27, it says, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone needs to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. So Father God, forgive us. Let us stay quiet for a minute, Lord God. Continue to hear the prayers, Lord God, the petitions of the people in our church family here, Lord God. Lord Jesus, thank you again for your love for us, Lord God. Thank you for your sacrifice and what it cost you, Lord God, for the forgiveness of our sins. Help us to receive in this communion, Lord God, the new covenant that you had, Lord. Body broken for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. Your blood shed also for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord God. Thank you again for your love, your sacrifice, Lord, for your goodness to us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you again, Lord God, for the privilege it is to be known by you, to know you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love, Lord God, for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for filling us, Lord God, not leaving us alone, Lord God. You counsel us, you give wisdom, Lord. We have all things in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, today we're going to celebrate communion, Lord God, and so just thank you again for what it cost you. Don't take this lightly, religious activity. Remember what it cost you on the cross, Lord Jesus. Remember the insults and the pain and the scourging and the nails on your hands and on your feet and the abuse, Lord God, you've endured for us, Lord Jesus. It cost you everything. So, Lord God, we celebrate this morning. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. He had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You proclaim your death and your resurrection, Lord God. The Lord God, you didn't stay in the tomb, Lord. You are resurrected and alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. And only you are worthy, Lord God. Continue to work in our lives, Lord God. Continue to say yes to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the grace that you've given us, Lord God. Your love, your mercy. We don't deserve it, Lord God. But you are such an amazing and kind God to us, Lord God. Continue to work in the lives through the power of the Holy Spirit of our church body. And we're not just here just to serve, Lord God. We're here to glorify you. It just means saying yes. Now, there's opportunities here in the church to equip and to go and prepare your saints. Help us to do that, Lord God. Now, Lord, if you're calling us to a new ministry, Lord God, help us to go and do that too, Lord God. But let it be the mission, Lord God, of our church so we can go reach the lost for you, Lord God, to share the good news of who you are. Continue to guide us, watch over us, keep us safe this week, Lord God. Watch over us, Lord God, as we step forward in faith to do more for your kingdom. The enemy is not going to sit back and, but Lord God, we're not afraid, Lord God. We have victory in your name, Lord Jesus. We want to be obedient to the call that you have in our life. Thank you again for blessing us with this Sunday, Lord God. Keep us safe again, Lord. Gather us, Lord God, in our Bible studies, in our different studies and times of fellowship, Lord. We don't need an excuse, Lord God. We can fellowship. We belong to this body. It's your body first, Lord God. Thank you again for the invitation to build it up, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.